I think that we can rely on Professor Friedman's analysis of the situation. He feels very strongly in personal conversation with me that messianism certainly was part of the promotion of the Rebbe himself as the Mashiach was part of the intent from day one. It was not something that was a late development coming towards the period of the senility, but something that was part of his intention. Beyond that, I don't know.
Day one being when he became the Rebbe.
Right. Right. I don't know whether this is true or not. And it's not my business. It really doesn't matter very much. The situation is dreadful and painful, and I just don't know how it will play out because the Lubavitcher are so integrally involved in all aspects of Orthodox Judaism all over the world that it's just going, and they've done so much good work that it's just going to be impossible to understand what the end result is. Now let's retract into a position which is perhaps a little less severe, namely the halakhic issue of whether you can indeed turn to intermediaries, which, as we see, the Rambam says, for the Rambam it makes no sense whatsoever because there are no dead people around for you to ask them to intervene on your behalf, the statements in the Gemara notwithstanding.
Dead
intermediaries as opposed to live intermediaries. That's an interesting question. The Gemara in Baba Basra says that if a person doesn't know how to pray, he should go to a chacham. I'm
trying to get the Missouri down to the next
thing. The implication half of the stuff is on the computer, and the other half is in this old technology, the books.
The Meir, the Gemara in Baba Basra, like Dakuf Zayin or something like that, says that if someone doesn't know how to pray, he should go to the Chacham. And the simple reading of the Gemara is that the Chacham will then pray for him. A live person who will pray on your behalf. The Meir, he says, he will go to the Chacham, and the Chacham will teach him how to pray. That even the issue of asking a live human being to intervene on your behalf is not permissible according to the Meir. He doesn't. And he doesn't deal with the Gemara in Ta'anit altogether, you know, of turning to a Chacham Tresa. So again, just as the Rambam is able to reject all of these sources of look, what we're dealing with here, I hate to do this, I've never quoted Max Weber in any form, lecture, or shiur in my life, but again, one has to take a look at this from the point of view of comparative religion, to some extent, because one is dealing here, there's this great book called The Saints of the Atlas, read long ago, and what he's dealing with is the holy people in the Berber community, in the Atlas Mountains, and in doing that, he applies...
In the case of asking for a chacham to pray, you're not worshiping the chacham.
Right.
In a sense, you're just relying on their praise.
Right. Right. And on the other hand, we'll come to that. I'm going to read to you from this book because basically he's taking Weber, who gave a sociological analysis of the two types of Christianity which existed in Europe at his time, and he's applying it to the situation in North Africa, more specifically in the Atlas Mountains of Morocco. This type of society was a monarchy based on towns which are centers of trade and religious learning, supported by privileged tribes but facing dissident tribes beyond the pale,
resembles neither feudalism nor that other recently popular stereotype of pre-industrial state, Oriental society with its bureaucracy supervising the establishment and maintenance of an irrigation system. The characteristic Muslim state, with its town-based and religiously legitimated monarchy, its concentric circles of privileged, autonomous, and dissident tribes, its administration based either on a peripatetic court and army, a recognition of local power holders rather than of bureaucratic nominees, is a distinct and characteristic type of its own. What kind of religious life is favored by such conditions? The society has one faith, a scriptural faith in the book, which can only be in keeping with the literate inhabitants of the towns and which legitimates the ruler based on the town. Yet this faith is also accepted by the tribesmen, some of whom defy the ruler and threaten the town. The manner in which this one religion is experienced and rooted in life in the various segments of the society cannot but vary. It is worth quoting a summary of Max Weber's review of the nature of urban religion. This religiosity of bourgeois strata, this is now a quote from Weber, seems to originate in urban life. In the city, a religious experience of the individual tends to lose the character of an ecstatic trance or dream and to assume the paler forms of contemplative mysticism or low-keyed everyday piety. For the craftsman, steady work with customers can suggest the development of concepts like duty and recompense as basic orientations towards life. That's the end of the quote from Weber. The town provides the conditions for a form of religion which is restrained in manner, learned, scholastic, sustained by a class which can divide its energies and its personnel between sacred knowledge and trade. In general terms, such urban religion will tend to exhibit characteristics of a syndrome which one could arbitrarily call type P. The features of this syndrome are stress on scripture, and hence on literacy, Puritanism, absence of graven images, strict monotheism, egalitarianism as between believers, minimization of hierarchy, absence of mediation, abstention from ritual excess, correspondingly a tendency towards moderation and sobriety, a stress on the observance of rules rather than emotional state. These features have an affinity with urban life and with each other. Towns make literacy possible and valuable. Literacy makes possible direct access to revelation and hence makes easier the dispensing with intermediaries, whether in this or another world, whether priestly or spirit, and hence with hierarchy or cult of personality. It makes possible insistence on rules and their elaboration and abstention from ritual excess, hence a general puritanism. Exactly. Type P. In contrast, the religious life of the tribe might be quite different. Illiteracy makes the audiovisual aids of religion a richer and more aesthetic ritual life desirable or essential. Having no access to the book, the tribesman needs a personalized religion. He also needs revered and special religious personnel, not only to mediate with God, but also to help with inter- and intra-tribal political mediation. All these tend to produce a religious life with characteristics drawn from quite a different syndrome, which one may, for contrast, call type C. That's not what he meant, of course. It contains the following traits: personalization of religion, tendency to anthropolatry, religious belief, ritual indulgence and absence of Puritanism, proliferation of the sacred, concrete images of it, religious pluralism in this and the other world, and local incarnation of the sacred. There are hierarchy and mediation. These various traits, once again, have an obvious inner affinity with each other. So here is Professor Gellner contrasting the town and the surrounding tribes in the Atlas, and as you say, P can stand for Misnagdim and C for Hasidim without much difference in meaning.
We have discussed the dimension of people. What about space, especially like the restaurant or something? Where's the other?
Well,
you know, as that's perhaps part of the syndrome, that nobody's recommending tearing down the Western Wall at the moment.
How about the concept of the Shliach Tzibur?
Well, the Shliach Tzibur can be anybody, right? He doesn't, for us, as opposed to, say, type C, there is no...
Yeah, but he prays that, you know, we shouldn't stumble on his words.
For example, that any person can be a Shliach Tzibur.
Special sanctity.
There's no special sanctity of the Shliach Tzibur. He's acting as part of the community and organizing the community prayers. Okay.
And in fact, there are instances, for example, that are equally between the Snagdim and Hasidim, for example, that a certain somebody should have a Nila, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a practice amongst the Snagdim as well, that somebody special in the
Shul
should have a Nila, or Kol Nidre.
As an honor, or as the fact that he's most qualified for reasons of piety and
exactly.
What have you, but it's not a charisma.
Absolutely right.
There's no charisma, whereas in the Hasidic world, there's charisma.
That as well.
Yeah, there's charisma.
It's not to keep the gates open.
For Weber, of course, P meant Protestant and C meant Catholic. But we can, but this guy is really sharp.
That's a terrific analysis. Isn't it?
Are also urban.
Are they?
It used to be.
Nowadays. No, what is very interesting, and this is what really boggles my mind, is that you can have, I mean, I just don't know how it works, but one has what I think some, this new phenomenon of having some internalized barrier where the modern world just doesn't penetrate at all.
Yeah, well, it's the tribalism within the city.
And it's some kind of a tribalism within the city, and I just don't know how it works. I don't know how it works that in 1998 the word professor still is such a pejorative word that the Rosh Yeshiva that tells the Yeshiva in Chicago will refuse to quote Dr. Berger, even though they were in. I mean, Dr. Berger came to see me, and we spent about 3 hours together. What was it? Not last Sunday. The Sunday before last in New York, and you know. I knew everything that was going to appear in this Kellner article, but no mention of Dr. Berger at all. And of course, I'm referred to him here in some snide way. Right. Yeah. This professor provided, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a dirty word. Okay. All right. Now let's get back. I want to continue this business I organized this. On the issue of visiting the graves, there's a quote from the Bach, which I was able to get off the computer via Rabbi Avadia Yosef, rather, because the Bach himself is Chivota computerized, but the book is not computerized. So this is 4 pages from the back, since I've organized this material more or less chronologically. Katav HaBach Yerdea Sotsimilei Zayin. We have it, 4 pages from back. Shailot Uchivot Yavia Omer Chelik Dalet. 1, 2, 3, 4 pages from the back.
Yavia Omer is all about.
Katava Bach Yodea Sof Simon Rejud Zain, Raiti Chivon Emaram Chaim Haltiel, I don't know who that is, Al Hanodrim Lelech Leveta Kvarov, Shitzata Yenyor the Havit Kabalesh El Han Maiti. Making a pledge to visit the cemetery sounds like an inquiring from the dead. The kalesh neshtateach al kivrei avot haynu shetpareil b'makom kedusha kedei shetit tiratzelu nishmat. That didn't mean that he wanted to intervene with the dead, but it's like having a minion eat today at the Maharata Mahkela. It didn't mean that he was actually pleading with them. Ach nashim, ubnei adam she'enam yodim zot, but women and other individuals don't know this. Lo yadati halichatan lam. I don't know what the permissibility is of going to the graves. Adkan. That's the quote from the Bach quoting Rav Chaim Palkia. Umi ukvah ziku benim yadzeh. But the Bach writes that there has been a custom to do this. V'yesh lezeh smach b'sefer hazor. V'davka lishtateach al kivrei avotav ulatarel l'pnei Hashem yisbach al kol tzara shelo dero b'zchut avotav hanikraim po v'yotzi b'zeh. Only to go to your forefather's grave. But to go to the Rebbe's grave, for example, would be impermissible.
He's not saying to pray to your ancestors.
I'm not to pray to your ancestors. Kard kanus sidrei tefillah al zeh, ve'ein l'shum moreh l'mnoa u'levatel min hazeh. Therefore, you shouldn't prohibit this. Ad kan divrei habach. And then I won't read what Rav Avadia has to say on the subject, because it's a bit out of context. All right, now the question of can you ask someone else to pray for you? There are two beautiful chivas of Moshe, one of which I've Xeroxed for you, and the other of which is probably still on the computer upstairs. If you go back a bit, I guess it's the tshuva before that.
Yeah, it's more towards the end of that.
Back towards the front, from where you were. Yes. Mi shemachzikim oto b'chacha. Notice there's a difference of style.
Yeah.
If someone is held by the general public to be a chacham, u'mishpil zeh mevakshim oto sheyitpaleh avuram im yaseken. No. A man who is reputed to be a scholar. And for that reason, he may not be a scholar, but for that reason, people come to him and ask him to pray on their behalf, should he do so. Okay, so this is a personal truth. Hine bati leva'eha inyan mazeh harveshanim, mashazeh harveshanim shaba'im inchi elai leva'keshe palel aleihem Hashem yisparach al kol tzara shelo tavot. People come to me and ask me to pray on their behalf. Vishavachem l'chol davar hatzrichim, and that I should bless them for various things that they need. Bein bevriyot haguf, whether it's physical health, bein shevayvarech Hashem yisparach otam b'vanim u'vanot, or whether it's a matter of fertility, bein b'parnasa, or for making a living, bein v'hatzlacha b'torah u'v'nyanei haguf ha'anefesh, u'v'chol v'shalot adam. People come to me and ask me to pray for them for their various needs. ואני עושה רצונם, ומברך אותם, ומתפלל בעדם. And I do this. אף שידוע לי מה ערכי וקטנותי בתורה ומעשים דודים, even though I know how my small value and worth is, שוודאי תמיהי על זה אין שיהיה מכירים אותי, and therefore people who really know me would be shocked that others would come and ask me to pray for them or to bless them. וגם ידוע מכמה גדולי תורה שהם אמרו לבקשים מהם לברך ולפלל שהם לא ראויים, אלא ילכו לבקש זה מאחרים שעוסקים בכך. There are many cases in which great men of the Torah refused to do such blessings or prayers on the part of other individuals because they felt that they should go to other people. ואני לא דוחיתי אותם ולשלחם לאחרים. I did not reject these people and send them to others. Therefore, I have to give a reason why I, despite my lowly status as a scholar, did not reject these people and send them to greater men to pray on their behalf, when greater men than I have done so. Aleph. L'va'er shetfilat kol adam u'v'yashit et kabel mitishamah. First of all, you should note that the prayer of any individual is fitting to be accepted. V'lachein, chayav kol adam shebikshu mimenu litpalel al kolel lasot. It has nothing to do with whether you're a scholar or a great man, but any person's prayer is fit to be accepted. Therefore, any person, if someone else turns to him and asks him to pray on his behalf, it's fitting to do so. And it's a chiyuv to do so. Let's skip a little bit.
You mean psychologically it's good for the people?
No, he says that any person's prayer is acceptable to God. And therefore, that when someone comes to me and asks me to pray on their behalf, I should pray on their behalf, not because I'm a great man or a great scholar or a big tzaddik, but because my prayers are just as good as anybody else's. Anybody's prayers are acceptable to God. And therefore, if someone asks you to pray on their behalf, then you should not be judging.
Just adding another prayer without not being anything special about your prayer.
Right. He's saying that all people's prayer is special in that sense.
Contrarily, if someone offers to pray for you, you should accept it.
That's right.
Be grateful for it.
And let's go to page 3. The va'er should be your chair. To explain. The va'er should be your chair. Ikachiyuv al kacham lispaleil al kol leshem avakshin yimei. That there's an even special obligation on a chacham to pray for a sick man when he is asked. Above and beyond the fact that any person should pray for someone else if he is requested to do so and the prayer is effective, he says there's a special obligation on a chacham. He says, V'kol shekein kishuhu chacham. She'ita b'bababat v'dakuf tet zayin d'arashu b'hin v'sin chama kol she'yesh lo chole b'tov feito yelech etzel chacham v'yakesh olav rachamim. He should go to a wise man and ask him to plead for mercy on his behalf. ודריש זה מקרא דכתיב חמת מלך מלכי מוות ואיש חכם יכפרם. שקוי על מי שבאה צער מחמת מלך הקדוש ברוך הוא, אף על שהוא באופן גדול כהכת מלכי המוות, even if the angels of death are at the door, היינו חולה שנטה למות, מועילה תפילת חכם. The prayer of a wise man helped, כדפי הרשרה של שם. שלכן ודאי מחויב החכם לבקש אליו רחמים, והוודאי יקבל השם יסברך תפילתו. ואף שגם תפילת חכם אינו ברור שתתקבל, even though the prayer of a wise man is not certain that will be accepted, אף שהוא חכם ברור וגדול הדור. אף בדורות התנאים כרבן גמליאל ורבי יוחנן בן זכאי, שאיתה וכשחלו בניהם, when they were children were sick, שלחו לרבי חנינא בן דוסא שיבקש רחמים. אף שרבן גמליאל היה גדול הדור, even though Rabbi Gamliel was certainly the greatest man of his generation, the Hayan Nasi, the Gam Nasi HaSanhedrin, he was the patriarch and the head of the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ha'od yoter gadol, shehaya rabo shel Rabbi Gamliel, v'gam rabo shel Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, shebo etzlo lulot Torah. Even though these great men were greater than Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, v'lo samchu shetfilat atzmam al b'neihem tetkaber. They did not rely on their own prayers to help save the lives of their children. וגם אמר רב יוחנן בן זכאי על עצמו, שאף אם היה מטיח את ראשו בין ברכיו כל היום כולו, לא היו משגיחים עליו. Even if he would hold his head between his knees in prayer all day long, the powers that be would not pay attention. אף שאין חכם גדול ממנו, ויחד תפילת רבי חנינא בן דוסא עצמו מפורש במתניק משם בברכות, שלא הייתה מתקבלת תמיד. Even Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's prayer was not accepted always. But Amar lahem, im shgurat tfilati b'fi yadua ani shu mukubal. If the prayer comes easily to me, then that's a sign to me that it will be accepted. Im lav yodea ani shu mukubal. Mikal makom darash rav kenesim chava mikra, v'lachol chacham chashak an shem yisbarach l'tfilato yoter mi'lestan inchi. That God maybe pay attention to the prayers of a wise man, possibly more than others. V'gam hu b'chazaka sheyikabel kadosh baruch hu tfilato. Ach she'ika madregot bein hachachamim v'yoter adifut u'brilut. Mitzad godel eichut chachmato u'ma'asav v'kamot ha'ma'asim. U'mimeila pashut u'barur she'chacham she'mavakesh mishu m'Yisrael m'menu she'yitael el avulo mukhuyav mikol she'kein. D'chol adam mitpalel avulo. If any person is obligated to pray for someone else when that request is made to him, certainly a chacham is. והיותר אפשר שיקבל הקדוש ברוך הוא תפילתו, ופשוט שאף בפנחס תנחמה אמר מי שיש לו חולה בתרופתו, הוא הדין על כל שר אחר שלא תבוא לעניין פרנסה ולזכות פנים וכדומה, ומה ישנות הרי הכל תלוי בשם. ולכן, מאחר שאיקא דינא פיוד מדינא, since there's a legal obligation לכל אדם להתפלל ביד חברו ולברכו, אף שכשיודע בעצמו צער חברו, וכל שכן כשמבקשים ממנו, when he knows the pain of his fellow man, and certainly when he's asked to do that, הרי מחויב אני להתפלל ולברך המבקשים אותי בכל אותם. Therefore, I have an obligation to pray on behalf of those who ask. ואף שמבקשים אותי להתפלל לברכם הוא מחמת שמחזיקים אותי לכחם. Even though the people that ask me to do this is because they're under a false impression that I am a wise man, הרי לא יוביל כלום כשאומר להם שהם טועים. That will do no good for me to try to dissuade them from this belief. משום שעדיין לא הגעתי לחכמה. שעד רבה עוד הגדל אצלם החכמה זה שאומר שהוא מצד הנבל. If I try to dissuade them from this, they will make me, they, I become even greater in their eyes because they will think that this is because I'm an immensely modest person. וגם לא שייך להכחיש את המציאות, and also one can't deny the obvious, שנתפסמתי בעולם לשם חכם, that I have a reputation as being חכם, מצד שאני מחזיק ישיבה ואומר שיעורים, because I'm the head of the yeshiva, and I give שיעורים, ומן הספרים שקיבלתי, and I wrote all these books. אף שזה רחוק מחכם שעליו אמר רבי פנחס בן חמא שיעקו אצלו, even though this is far, far distant from the true Chacham which Rabbi Pinchas was talking about. V'yach mi Chacham shahabeya vein meyot shana achar chatimat ha-gemara, v'yach achar zizman ha-gemaronim. Mikol makom ulai sagi lezeh gam Chacham shebedor hazeh. V'af shikik ha-tam gadol lechalek mi'im yamat zorek olam minyan halakha, shahu ha-chacham lebechol zman uzman, kizviyati v'akdamat l'sefer ha-tikus. Noshe shulashay ha-kvarim kibol ha-tfila, v'mikol makom יש לנו לומר, וגם לכל הדורות, כמה זה רק נפס בנחם. אף שיעלו חכמי הגמרא שחכמה לדורות מתקפנים. וממילא, אף שאיני מחזיק עצמי, אף מחכמי הזמן, even though I don't consider myself to be among the wise men of our current generation, מכל מקום, כיוון שהחולה מחזיק אותי לחכם, since the sick person thinks that I'm a wise man, ובדין הוא צריך להחזיקן, הרי הולך למקום של הפנחס, בן חמא ציבה ללך, ובזכות אמונתו בדברי חז"ל יקבל הקדוש ברוך הוא גם תפילתי וברכתי, וזהו טעם נכון ומוכרח לדינה שכל שמחזיקים אותו לחכם, ובשביל זה מבקשים אותו שיתפלל ויברך שמחויב להתפלל עבורו ולברכו. A beautiful, beautiful tshuva which accurately reflects the personality of Rav Moshe, and I'd like to stop on this optimistic note rather than on the terrible things that we have to deal with in the beginning of the hour. Hold on to this because there are a lot of other things in here, including one tshuva of the Maharik, which was censored out of the Warsaw edition of the Tshuva of the Maharik. The issue was whether you could wear a doctor's uniform. And it was disappeared in the Lemberg edition, but was censored out of the later Warsaw edition because of the waging dispute that existed about dress at that time. So
you had that medley too.
Well, we'll repeat it again. But next week we'll go to you because I'm giving some lectures at Africa. And so if you're after this, and it's also a lot of vacation, so I don't expect to be in town next week. If you're after this, it'll be near to Shemitou.